Live from page 42 of Matt Damon's Dream Diary. It's the Geek Show podcast.
What?
Just fair warning. We're not the basketball. Okay. We're not the basketball. Just wanted to let you know. Okay. Let's start the show. What is in that dream journal, by the way?
Page 42. Ooh, spicy stuff.
Doggy.
Spicy.
Where's his dream journal?
It's in his underwear drawer next to his socks.
Yeah. It's where everybody keeps their dream journal, right?
Once a year on our birthday, Matt invites me over to the house and he lets me do whatever I want. And I always go straight for the dream diary.
Of course you do.
And he never writes about me.
Oh, that's too bad.
So you should make an entry in the journal to see if he notices.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, but I always sign it as William Shatner. So he's convinced that Shatner's breaking into his house and reading his dream diary.
So then he is writing about you.
Does Shatner.
Well.
It's you as Shatner, as Kirk, as T.J. Hooker.
That is a threesome. That
Am I having a stroke? What's happening?
No, you're
you
fine.
Are.
She's,
no,
she's,
no, no, no. You she's are having a
stroke. She's having a stroke. She's Rebecca Frost, everybody.
Hi, Dios mio, everybody.
Oh, you're all right. You'll make it.
That's
You'll
the 30 years later sequel to She's Having a Baby. She's having a stroke.
Wow. I saw that movie in theaters.
She's having a stroke? Oh.
it was a double feature with St. Elmo's Fire.
Did I catch that Robert Neal had a stroke in a theater? Robert
what?
Neal, everybody.
What?
Hello. So I don't want to make this joke, but did you guys hear about the man at the screening of the movie Love Lies Bleeding, which is about lesbian bodybuilders? And it's people went at Sundance when they saw it were hooting and hollering. But there was a man who saw it at a theater who was so drunk, he started jerking off during the movie.
Oh,
fell asleep.
Yes, I did hear about that.
Dick in hand. And like, if you look at like the little side table next to him, he's got like two little things, a fireball, a pack of cigarettes.
That's just once
they
again,
they refunded everyone's money.
Fueling my belief that Paul Rubens is alive and well.
He believes Paul Rubens.
He did it where he was supposed to.
Yeah.
Are you supposed to? Never mind. He's Jack Hammer. No, he's Lee George Cade, everybody.
And my new limited series is coming out on Peacock next week. Jack Hammer, Private Eye.
It'll last a season and a half.
What?
Yeah.
I predict.
Are you is it the younger brother of Sledgehammer?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I liked Sledgehammer.
That was just for you guys. Because I knew that somebody wouldn't get it.
Was that Fred Dwyer?
Crap. Now I'm going to look it up.
I forgot his name.
Oh. Dr. Kerry Jackson.
Oh, hi there, everybody.
Doctor? What?
I'm Monday through Friday, 6 to 10, x96.com. I'm back on Monday.
Wow.
All right.
Let's
woot woot.
Yeah.
David
Rash. Thank you. It was a forced spring break, Rebecca. It was my partners announced, we're leaving town. Oh. Can't exactly do this. I guess I could come in and play music.
You could have.
It was the kid's 18th birthday. It makes sense.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry, David Rash played Sledgehammer. I was completely wrong.
David Rash. Okay. Yeah. Look up Sledgehammer, kids. It's probably on the YouTube. All right, here we go. Let's begin. We got two kind of cool looking trailers this week. The first one is the Star Wars. And let's watch these in the after party, shall we?
Only if someone who has the right gear can do that for us.
Well, maybe we won't.
It's not I.
I don't have the Tony Nui Watts.
Oh, okay.
All right. Can't make it go.
We can watch. We can. Here's what we can do. We can watch it. Tell everybody at home. Okay, push play now and follow along.
Pretty cool trailer though. It is the sequel to Star Wars: Tales of the Jedi. It's called Tales of the Empire, and it's coming sooner than you expected. Well, May 4th, of course. It will debut on your Disney Plus. And here's what the press release is calling it. The second installment of the Tales series, suggesting maybe there's going to be more. I don't know.
What's beyond Jedi and Empire?
Ooh, Tales. Ooh, Tales of the Mos Eisley Cantina, please.
Oh.
Yes. Please.
I just want that Jawa sniper. That's all
yes,
I need.
Yes.
You get Tales of the Outer Rim.
Yeah, there's a lot you could do. Anyway, Tales of the Jedi followed two Jedi paths, Count Dooku and Ahsoka Tano. Tales of the Empire will follow two characters from different eras. Morgan Elsbeth.
We know her.
Voiced by Diana Lee Inosanto. And Barriss Offee, voiced by Meredith Salinger, Mrs. Patton Oswalt. Let's see. They'll be joined by several other prominent Star Wars characters, such as Grand Admiral Thrawn, the Grand Inquisitor, Jason Isaacs. General Grievous is going to be there.
Kenobi!
So, yeah, all of
Why does a robot cough?
Because he's not a robot. He's a cyborg.
What? Once again, ask the question.
He used to be a fleshy person like you and me.
And then they put his innards in that robot body. And,
yes.
And he was a smoker.
Cough, huh?
Also, it's established George Lucas hates asthmatics.
I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, Morgan's side of Tales of the Empire is going to explain her Night Sister backstory, which was revealed on Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. Apparently, she was there during the events of the massacre. The Clone Wars episode where Dooku orders Grievous to wipe out the Night Sisters and sets Ventress off on her path to become a bounty hunter. So you're going to see that.
Not a good episode to show little kids.
No.
Because the zombie Night Sisters are freaky AF.
Yeah. Then the Barriss side of Tales investigates the rise of the Inquisitorious and her apparent part in it.
Mm.
And includes characters from Rebels, the Grand Inquisitor, Obi-Wan, the Fourth Sister, and Ahsoka, Marrok. And you'll get more Marrok.
Well, because Barriss is the one that set Ahsoka up to take the fall for some bad things that she had done in the last season of Clone Wars. So we'll be able to see the continuation of that.
Oh, now, Bug Hunter says that it's because Mace Windu crushed his chest.
That is not canon.
That's not canon? Okay.
No, that was in
the... Canon is whatever you want canon to be.
Well, let it be what you want it to be, but that was in the Genndy Tartakovsky Clone Wars cartoon. Mm-hmm.
So they said this is the second of the Tales series?
Yeah.
Which means the Tales spin was not part of this series.
Should have been.
Goodness gracious,
and neither was the Tales of Duck.
I need that, though.
What about Tales from the Crypt?
Yeah. Hello,
or the dark
kitties.
Side.
All right. Let's see another trailer that we got today. I know Lee was excited about this trailer.
Dead Boy Detectives.
It looks kind of cool, doesn't it?
They were on the Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol.
Remember?
Yes. And I love that the headline of this story, the way it's written for Lee. So if you're into sci-fi oddities, tall, skinny young men, My Chemical Romance, and Neil Gaiman, this is for you.
All things I'm in. All things I enjoy.
Yes.
Sorry, gonna be a hater here.
Probably.
Not for me.
Yep. Netflix has revealed that Dead Boy Detectives, new show based on Neil Gaiman's characters that debuted in Sandman and have since appeared across his works. They're ghosts who have rejected the afterlife in favor of an existence helping other ghosts solve their deaths.
Yeah, their clients are dead.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
So they see dead people. They're everywhere. Yeah.
They are dead people. But tiptoeing on that line between life and death doesn't make them any friends who are dead. Thankfully, they do make some who are living. It starts out, looking like just a Netflix show, and then it gets kind of weird.
And it's the same death from the Sandman series.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so happy.
Show run by Steve Yockey, who did The Flight Attendant and Supernatural. And Beth Schwartz, who did Sweet Tooth and Arrow.
Flight Attendant, so good.
Yes. Dead Boy Detective's part of the Sandman universe, meaning that the characters could potentially show up in other game and fare, such as, Sandman Season 2, hopefully. But I guess that all depends on how many views it gets, is what I'm thinking.
Getting 100,000 from me.
You've already shot it up there. Yep. But April 25th. Very nice. Soon is when that debuts just for you.
It threw the kid into almost a state of apoplexy because they couldn't figure out what cut of Black Parade was going on. And this child is an MCR scholar.
Oh, really?
Oh, boy. Oh,
wow. Yeah. Yeah. And they're just like, but no, I've not heard this. I'm like, sometimes they remix things.
They do.
What's their favorite float in the Black Parade?
or the Kentucky Fried band. Chicken one.
It's
the
Woody. Kentucky Fried Chicken.
It's Woody Doompecker.
Thank you. Thank you, Lee. Just a sec. Got to write down Woody Doompecker.
Woody Doompecker.
All right.
He's the float of your doom.
Let's do some quick housekeeping here. Tony is not with us. He is on assignment with...
No, he quit the show.
Oh, my God. I cannot handle this.
Please, for Rebecca's sake, Tony didn't quit the show.
He quit.
Jay has not quit the show. He just can't make it, you know. And he was going to be here, but then a flight got changed, so it's his job is weird. So
Tony and Jay got married and quit the show.
He was going to be here today, but
that's their story to tell, Lee. Not yours.
Exactly. Don't you know these things?
Bad ally.
Speaking of Lee. Good ally, Lee George Cade. There it is. There's the Venmo.
Crossing my eyes, is it a sailing ship?
Are we at the $1 million mark yet, Lee?
No.
We're close.
Yeah, like if we had a thermometer on a piece of like big paper and we were coloring it in with marker, how much color do we have?
Well, let's just say I could live in Carrie's neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
Moving on up to the east side.
You could have had a cool neighbor, Carrie.
I wish I had a cool neighbor. I got one right across the street, and that's
it. I was going to say, aren't your across the street neighbors pretty cool?
Yeah, they're very cool. Everyone else around me? Well, but there is a white family down here that I really quite like. No, their last name is White.
Lee's Venmo. Like, wait, anyway, everybody.
Lee's Venmo. Right there. You okay, Rob? All right.
Tell me more about the white people.
Oh, they're delightful. They have parties. Anyway, that's to help Lee out with his medical bills because his insides are trying to kill him.
Hey, and, I do have an appointment with a surgeon on Wednesday.
Oh, keep us posted. Let us know. Yeah. So that'll be for his next surgery. He's now strong enough for yet another surgery. So any little bit helps. Just go to any of our social medias or... click on that when you see it here on the YouTube.
I think that's when you sign off, is there a white family down the street. Thank you, Carrie.
There is.
I appreciate that.
geekshow.store is still up and running where you can buy our stuff. And
I hear that Fashion Doll t-shirt is leaving soon.
Guys, it's so soon.
Who do I call? Who do I call?
So soon.
Because we need to take it down and replace it with something else.
Oh. Call at t-shirt.com.
Star Trek shirt.
Yeah, we need a Space Show shirt. Of some kind. Anyway, but I thank you for sending me pictures of you in our gear in various places around the world. I appreciate that, and thank you. Also, our Patreon, geekshowgotthiscovered.com, is the link to our Patreon where you can get the... it's very affordable. You can be a friend of the program or a true believer. $3.50. Come on, $3.50. That's affordable.
And considering inflation...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we haven't raised our prices at all since we started the Patreon.
We're like the Costco man and his hot dog. We will never see that get higher than $1.50.
Probably not.
We've been this price since before the pandemic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Charles, if you have an idea for a Space Show shirt, let us know. Let's see. Also, our Patreon, geekshowgotthiscovered.com, takes you right there. You get the Space Show early. You get the after party, which we do right after this show. Which is very specialized, I would say. It's not as...
And last week really got people excited. So.
Yeah, we got a lot of response from last week's. And we're gonna follow that up, the topics that we talked about. We're going to follow that up. Want to know what we're talking about? Join us. And more videos are coming this week. I'm sorry, I was off this week, and so I was relaxing, doing this thing called relaxing.
He was on spring break.
Yeah, so...
What is the spring break?
I'll get you videos this week, some more Time Closet videos. All right. Okay, let's get to the news and the latest outrage.
Okay, everyone just like be cool, okay?
Yeah, the latest outrage. There she is, Shalabal. I think she looks great. This is Matt Shakman directing The Fantastic Four. Will feature Julia Garner as Shalabal, the version of the classic character, the Silver Surfer.
No.
I have opinions. I have opinions, and they're not bad opinions. I think it's a great thing.
Seriously, you're casting this woman, and you could have had like a whole list of Chroma Sapiens out there. People of metal.
I'm not really familiar with Shalabal. Wasn't she Norman Rad's lover?
Girlfriend, yes. Yes. And so basically, he left her to become Galactus's herald.
He became the Surfer. And then when did she become the Surfer?
She never did. No. So there have been other female heralds. And I think it would have been better to have made her Nova
Nova's the fire-based one, right?
She was the fire-based one, who was a ex-girlfriend of Johnny Storm from the Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Okay. Or there was another one named Stardust, and I don't know much about her background.
Well, there was also Aunt May.
Oh, there was Aunt May. Aunt as May Golden was, Oldie.
Yes.
That's
yes.
insane.
Yeah, that was a what if or something, wasn't it?
It was yeah. an, no, it was an assistant editor's month story that Franklin had a dream that she was babysitting him and then became the Herald of Galactus.
Okay.
It's like when Lexana and Alexander went out for mud baths.
Okay. I remember that. Thank you. Silver Surfer was introduced in, well, we'll get to that list here in a moment. Garner, 3-time Emmy winner.
Oh, she's awesome.
For the series Ozark.
Did you watch Ozark?
No.
I hear she's fantastic in it. So I messaged Bill Frost, my father, and I said, hey, years and years and years ago, when Marvel movies were first like starting to become a thing, I asked you what comic book character you'd like to see in a movie. And he said Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
And so I messaged him and I was like, hey, friendly reminder, years and years and years ago, I asked you the question. You said Silver Surfer. What are your thoughts on Julia Garner? And he says, she's great. So it's already better than Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. Can't wait to see it. And then he follows it up with, related, I'd also love a Fantastic Four movie that doesn't suck. So
yeah, for a change. And I feel pretty good about this one.
So you need to watch Ozark, Carrie, is what you need to do.
I guess I do. I keep hearing good things about it.
Like you, Jason Bateman playing a bad guy is really interesting.
I like Jason Bateman.
It's his Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. It's a very good show, and she's freaking amazing in it.
Well, I think she's going to be great as the Silver Surfer. You know, that part of the internet is upset.
It's so buck wild to me that we've been making these movies for over 10 years now. And people are still
15.
Insane. Like I check Facebook once a day. I don't interact on it or anything, but I just like to look. And there was someone on Facebook who is a comics creator. I'm not going to name who, but they were like upset at Woman Silver Surfer and calling Disney woke. And I'm like, it is the year of our Lord 2024. How are we still pissy about this?
I know.
According to Bob Iger, most people don't know what woke means.
Well, no,
he said,
I'm not sure what woke means.
Yeah. Well, of course not. He's old.
But it's like porn. I know it when I see it.
Woke has just become now a term that those people use.
Woke and DEI.
For things, those people carry.
You know what I mean. That family down the street.
The white family.
No, that's just become a term for something that they're afraid of. Something that threatens their sense of straightness and whiteness.
It's different.
Yeah.
I'm just going to table all of this until after the eclipse. And if we survive that, then
did
I'll
you guys
come back.
Know they're also booting up like the particle accelerator on April 8th as well?
Like you're supposed to.
Like they didn't watch Three Roddy Problem?
I do have a quick question though, now that I think about it. Does this mean that the way that certain people have co-opted woke, does that qualify as cultural appropriation?
It should.
Okay.
My culture is not your costume.
Because I'm just kind of like, didn't we originate that term? I think we did.
Yes. Frankly, I don't know why these guys are upset that they're going to get a naked silver lady. I don't understand the problem.
You would think that a bunch
I wanted
would be
to
like,
see silver
cool.
dong. Yeah. I wanted to see a silver Ken doll right around my screen.
Which, you know, you did see, but it was Doug Jones, so it was kind of creepy.
Yeah. And as always,
he was voiced by Lawrence Fishburne, at least.
Yeah.
As always, our motto is, show me what you got. So, all right. Now, Marvel would like you to read these Fantastic Four comics before the movie. You can go online and find these, but I got a list here.
So before you get to that list, I want to take you down this fun rabbit hole that I discovered as I was putting this together.
Okay.
So from Twitter, this is the photo that is on Twitter. It was on 4-4. And then a link, and that link takes you here. One second.
Oh, 404, page not found.
Maybe Invisible Woman has hidden the page, or maybe try later, or maybe there's more to this page and a fun QR code right over here. That QR code then takes you to this page.
Yes. Delegates, we're glad you could join us. To prepare for the upcoming meeting, you've been granted access to read these issues on Marvel Unlimited for free. So these are the ones that they want you to read. There's Fantastic Four number one, of course, the original. Fantastic Four 48. Now in 48, we see them fresh off of a fight with the Inhumans Maximus, Black Bolt's insane brother. And they're visited by the Watcher with a dire warning. His attempts to hide Earth from the mysterious Silver Surfer have failed, and the Surfer's arrival heralds coming of Galactus. This is the very first appearance of both of these characters. And then they say, Fantastic Four 49, Galactus arrives on Earth, makes his plan to consume it. And while the Watcher and the Fantastic Four struggle to fight this foe, the Silver Surfer crosses path with Alicia Masters and realizes that maybe his master's plans are worth questioning. A continuation of the debut Galactus story, this issue has a spotlight on Alicia Masters, who eventually becomes Ben Grimm's love interest and partner. And it's her sympathy to the Surfer that inspires the Surfer to turn his back on being Galactus's herald in that issue. Then Fantastic Four 50, the conclusion of Galactus's debut. After the Surfer fails to stop his master, Johnny Storm returns from his mission from Uatu, the Watcher, to secure the Ultimate Nullifier, a weapon of vast power designed by the Watchers eons ago from Galactus's homeworld. Threatened by its power, Galactus agrees to the Fantastic Four's demand to leave Earth alone, but not before he punishes his herald by stripping him of his title and exiling him to Earth. So, they're really, if they want you to read these before the movies, this is going to be a big film. And then finally, Fantastic Four Life Story number one, which is was released in 2021. It's the newer one of all these comics. And it basically, the Life Story series, because they did Spider-Man Life Story, and all it is it's a look into the idea and tone that might inspire the movie. It follows the Fantastic Four in real time, decade by decade, from their origin in the 60s all the way to the 2010s. And what normally would have been a 60 years of comic book, it reboots and slides time scales, updates it, basically. So the first issue has a very 60s vibe, so that's what they want you to
Because also,
read.
look at this design down here.
MasterCard?
Yeah. It's very 60s.
That is very MasterCard, isn't it?
But the great thing here is, thank you, I wanted you to go to the top of that, the Future Foundation. So about 10-ish years ago, the Fantastic Four decided we can do more to help people in general rather than just going off to the negative zone every 2 minutes. And they started a foundation called the Future Foundation with a bunch of kids, like young characters throughout the MCU, and including a couple of characters from different comic books. And they were, it's like a science foundation and a think tank. And at one point they had Peter Parker as a member. They changed all of their uniforms to white and black for just a unified look for everybody. So I'm glad to see that they're using the Future Foundation actively to promote this.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's going to be a part of the Young Avengers that they seem to be setting up? I don't know if they're going to continue that route.
They're setting it up.
Well, yeah. I hope so.
But I don't know if this, but the Future Foundation isn't like a training program for heroes. It's literally just a think tank. Mm. So it's the chess club for superhero kids.
Didn't Mike Allred draw those?
No, Mike Allred drew.
Oh, he did a Silver Surfer relaunch.
He did a Silver Surfer relaunch. He also did an issue, a series of the Fantastic Four starring Ant-Man, Darla Deering, She-Hulk, and I can't remember who the fourth member was. Medusa.
Yes. I kind of feel like, if we're going to tie it into Young Avengers, I feel like we have an opportunity because Cassie Lang, big science gal, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this is an opportunity to tie, like, the potential tie-in comes, like, I think, through Cassie Lang, maybe.
Could be.
Or Ms. Marvel, because you remember at the end of, was it Marvels? Yeah, the end of Marvels, she shows up at Hawkeye's apartment. My Hawkeye. Yes.
But they're not science-y.
They're not,
no,
though.
No. And Cassie, no, I guess Cassie kind of is. In Quantumania, she was working with Hank, so.
She worked with Hank.
And Cassie's whole deal is like she was figuring out a way to get to the quantum realm. Yeah.
And she became Stature.
Stature, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's going to be interesting to see. Show me what you got. This is going to be a big film. Eric is wondering, are we going to get a live-action Jeffrey Wright as the Watcher? I saw a news story about that. I don't like the source, so I'm waiting for confirmation on that.
Did you also see it on Discussing Film?
Yeah, I don't like the source.
Gutter Puddle, it's not a Sony production.
Yeah.
The rights belong solely to Marvel now.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. And about those other sites, be careful what you believe out there, because as we've learned, the fake stuff is what gets it clicks, and clicks get you money, and so they're more than happy to lie to you, folks.
I saw another tweet that posted a potential spoiler for the plot of the movie, and it's so far out that I'm like, I don't know if I can believe this.
My philosophy on this show has always been, I'd rather be right and last with information than wrong and first. And that's why I'm not getting the clicks, and that's why I'm not getting the money. That Alex Jones money, you know?
If you see the word reportedly, run away.
Just run away.
Green Boy, Latinum. Gold Press Latinum.
Yes.
Five bars!
more news. Some Star Wars news. And this is very exciting. I'm very excited about this because when I heard James Mangold was making a Star Wars, I was very excited. But then I found out who's writing the James Mangold Star Wars.
The man responsible for the world's saddest robot.
Marvin?
No. Sadder than Marvin.
This guy right there.
No, this is, let me find his name
Marva.
Here.
Marva.
Bo Willimon is writing the script for the what is tentatively referred to as Star Wars Dawn of the Jedi. And Mangold is going to start working on that movie after he gets finished with this Timothy Chalamet Bob Dylan biopic.
So this Bo Willimon, he's the guy responsible not only for the world's saddest robot over here, but also that fantastic monologue from Mr. Skarsgård about how he's building a future for a sunrise that he will never see.
He wrote that, and he wrote the escape
one way out.
One way out speech. So if he's writing a Star Wars, I'm there. Mm-hmm. I will be in line for that one. So that's your latest news. But This one takes place, let's see, thousands of years before any of the films.
Thousands?
So even longer ago.
What it says here, yeah.
We haven't even talked about the discourse from when the Acolyte trailer came out and how people aren't necessarily piecing together that it takes place like 1,000 years before the prequels.
Well, not only that, there's people that are, it's a few hundred years before the prequels. But they're losing their mind because the director said something about men that didn't jive well with them. So they're just losing their minds because, you know, the funniest thing about this group of people that complains about Michael Burnham crying too much is they've been fucking crying about Michael Burnham for 5 goddamn years.
Yeah.
I don't think people like Star Wars.
I don't think people like anything. They just like complaining.
more news. We got a director for Supergirl. It is
Farmer Hoggett,
Craig Gillespie. he directed a couple of very interesting projects: I, Tanya,
Tanya Hardy,
and Cruella, which I quite enjoyed actually. I didn't think I would, but
Cruella
I quite enjoyed it.
Cruella was fine.
A stylistic triumph.
Yeah,
a stylistic triumph. I personally don't think we need movies about Disney villains, but like Cruella to look at and like costume design wise, absolutely stunning and beautiful.
It's a great soundtrack too.
This looks like Mobius art. This was really good.
Yeah,
that art was stunning.
So
no, I think it's Bilquis. Crud.
Well, I know it's not Mobius, but
yeah, it's Bilquis somebody, and that is her style, and yeah. Solid
work. Gorgeous.
He also worked on Dumb Money, the GameStop movie, and TV's Pam and Tommy.
Okay, I liked that show.
So there you go. But
Emily.
There's your director for Supergirl, so take that as it will. Now, this next one, I was like, do we need another? But this was his idea. Drew Goddard.
Of course it was his idea. Here's the thing about Drew Goddard. Drew Goddard is the McDonald's of filmmakers, right? He is just like ever present, never horrible, but he's just like, always, he's always doing stuff.
He, he did The Martian, Cabin in the Woods, World
War Z.
Cabin
in the Woods. He did Bad Times at the El Royale.
But also look at the rest of his IMDb like filmography. The man does. He's got hits here and there, right? But he also does like
McRib.
A bajillion other. Yeah, exactly. He's got his McRibs. He's got his quarter pounders. He's got his Egg McMuffin and hash browns. But like every like he does the man. He's one of those where I'm like he does too much.
World War Z. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Bad Times the Good Royale movie.
You should have named it something
amazing.
Else.
Yeah, World War Z. Read the book, and it is nothing like the book is even better. Yeah.
Starship Troopers. Got it. So
Warner Brothers Pictures President of Production Jesse Ehrman said he came to us with a new idea that we all believe would be an incredible way to continue the Matrix world by both honoring what Lana and Lily did 25 years ago and offering a unique perspective based on his own love of the series and characters. So.
Also this week they announced a Legally Blonde spinoff.
Yes.
Begging series. For some original content. I'm dying for something new.
It's so funny because I'm going through through Goddard's stuff and I'm like, okay, half of it's forgettable, but then you get Cloverfield, Cabin in the Woods, and Bad Times at the El Royale, and I'm like, I'm watching those three movies today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're that
like,
good.
He's got hits, but at the same time, like I said, he's just always doing stuff.
So he's inconsistent.
So we'll see what happens with this. We'll keep an eye on it. The other project that was announced this time around, it was a character I was not familiar with, and then I read the premise.
It's a Matthew Sweet song.
Yeah. I read the premise of the story, and I went, oh, intriguing, because it's, you know, the devil and God and heaven and all that classic stuff.
And 90s women's clothing from comic books.
Yeah, that's got to go.
There's that.
Well, it's Rob Liefeld. So, but Olivia Wilde is attached to direct an adaptation of Evangeline for Margot Robbie's production company, Lucky Chap. Now, as far as we know, she's not going to star in it. Neither one of them are going to star in it.
So that's fine. Margot Robbie as a producer is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Olivia Wilde, she's on thin ice because Booksmart, her directorial debut was amazing. And then she did Don't Worry, Darling, which I don't know if you remember.
I remember.
The Don't Worry, Darling.
You didn't like it.
It's called Going Down, the motion picture.
The problem was she got was so much drama that surrounded the production of the film, and I think she as a director was just totally blinded by Harry Styles's dick that she didn't really put that much effort into making a good movie. So I'm willing to give her another shot with this if Margot Robbie's producing.
If you're not familiar with the story, it concerns an angel who fights the forces of evil and often finds herself face to face with demons and monsters. She was the most feared warrior in Heaven's War Host, having single-handedly broke into Pandemonium, the outer fortress of hell, to confront the devil himself. She is a fallen angel banished from heaven by God after being tricked into questioning his love for humans. Evangeline was stripped of all of her angelic abilities other than her great strength and her blood, which once extracted from her body could be used as a weapon or a miracle once empowered by quoting verses from the Bible. Evangeline uses her powers to fight demons on earth and is being groomed to be humankind's last hope to a coming Armageddon.
On Matthew Sweet's album Girlfriend, he wrote a song called Evangeline because he couldn't get the rights to Evangeline. But it's literally about this character because he was struggling with religion, so he decided he was in love with the comic book character.
I kind of like that stuff when they play with sacred texts. That's kind of why I like Lucifer so much.
Lucifer.
I'll be interested to see what goes on here. I mean, it doesn't have a movie studio yet. They're going to shop it around. They're putting it together and shopping it around. So where it'll wind up, we don't know.
I say good luck.
I think, honestly, thank you, Margot Robbie, for being willing to give Olivia Wilde another chance.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kind of wonder if Olivia Wilde is one of those names where if you are a studio or a producer, you see her name come across your desk, you're going to be like, oh, no, thank you. Drama follows this woman.
But if you don't follow any of that drama, like I didn't know any of this stuff until you were talking about it based off of when that movie was coming out. And I was like, okay, well, if you're not on that part of the internet, you don't know anything about Olivia Wilde and her drama, you know? So,
yeah, it is said that she is the reason that... the marriage didn't work.
I believe it.
Ted Lasso.
They technically never got married.
Oh, that's right. Okay. But they...
I'm going to be pedantic about it.
Well, I wasn't there, so I don't have an opinion.
All right.
Carrie, we need to watch Paul Bettany's amazing 2010 movie, Legion, where he plays a...
My husband watched that a couple of months ago.
We need to watch it right now.
I watched
in the
it.
After party. We're going to watch it.
Paul Bettany's got a 12-pack in that movie.
And tattoos. He looked great in that movie. And I actually kind of like there was a TV series along as well, right? Yeah. I quite like the TV
different
series.
Different Legion.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a nice little change here. Yes, there's some of it. You can go on YouTube and search Roddenberry Archive Deep Space Nine, The World According to Quark. You will get now this works with your let me see if I can find this here. It works on your Apple Vision Pro as well, you know, so if you have that,
get one of those
so you can do that. But it's a virtual tour in the Roddenberry Archive. They've got a whole bunch of virtual reality set tours for the Apple Vision Pro, but they're also on YouTube for us lamos that don't have that.
I thought this was real, and that I could just go there and visit and walk around crying.
One of the first virtual tours was inside a Katinga battle cruiser from the opening of Motion Picture. But now they've done Deep Space Nine's Station. And what's also cool about this is Armin Shimerman narrates it and talks about some of the things that are there, you know. And yes, they saved the bar for last.
So Leah, I have an idea. We just put on a giant screen TV.
Yeah.
I'll put on my Cisco costume. You can put on your Pike costume, and we can just push you around the VR.
Yeah, and when we stop, and you'll be like,
"You
like this?"
Why you guys keep making Pike jokes at his expense?
You're like, Pike, do you like this? Like, beep, beep.
You guys.
But I mean, he has some interesting insight on the design and the history and how the set was used. And I didn't know it took up an entire soundstage.
Look at it. It's huge.
Jacob in the comments is absolutely right. A simple tailor does indeed work there.
Yes.
All references that I'm sure are very funny.
Oh, five more weeks, Rebecca.
That's true. Anyway, so you can go on YouTube and watch that.
It is not five more weeks. We're not the way the space show works is we're not doing it concurrently.
Okay, 15 more weeks.
Is that the math?
Six more years.
Because after Next Gen, then we have to watch all the Next Gen movies, right?
Yeah.
Is that how we're doing
Well,
I was asked if we were going to do DS9 and TNG concurrently, and I was like, no, I have a very strict...
That would be really hard.
TNG movies, and then DS9.
Yeah. So there's only two TNG movies, so it's real easy.
I'm sorry, but Lee, you missed it, but Carrie and I watched all of the animated series. Watching all of the bad stuff too.
I seriously gave myself pancreatitis just so I didn't have to watch that with you.
That was wise, actually. Yeah. You have vision, sir.
Yeah. I had visions. That's oxycodone will do that to you.
Then finally this, and then we'll get to what we consume this week. Let's see. This is kind of sad. Chance Padermo. From
this one
Gen
stings.
So sad.
Like this one really sucks.
He died motorcycle accident. Yeah.
This really sucks. He was phenomenal. I loved him so much.
He even made that Stinky Sabrina show okay to watch.
Yeah.
He was the only reason I watched that Stinky Sabrina show.
My wife watched it for the cat.
Oh yeah. Yeah, sure. You gotta watch it for the cat. And he was Andrew Anderson in Gen V on Prime Video. And So what's going to happen there? I don't know. Amazon planned on starting production on Gen V this month. That's now been paused indefinitely so that, you know, they can figure things out. So the question is, do they write him off or recast him?
I hope, I kind of hope, I mean, well, that's what sucks, is he had a very crucial role in Gen V.
Yeah.
But
I like the lead, I mean.
I don't think it would be difficult to kill him off.
Well, I mean,
it would just suck. It would suck. It would just suck. It would suck. Because he was awesome. He was
or they could just pull a Terrence Howard, Don Cheadle.
Yeah,
but Terrence Howard didn't die.
And I'm sure Don Cheadle wants to play a 22-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Don Cheadle could pull it off.
Don Cheadle does not have the charm. I mean, Don Cheadle is very charming.
You shut your mouth.
This guy was so charming, though.
He really was.
Yeah. Oh, anyway.
Don Cheadle was a Skrull the whole time.
Don Cheadle.
I
need to finish. I need to finish Nick Fury.
I enjoyed it.
It was how Nick Fury got his groove back. It was not perfect. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought it had a lot of fun stuff in there. Anyway.
Yes.
What did we consume this week? I know Lee said that there was too much good TV.
Too much for me. I made decisions, and some of those decisions were influenced by a geek show. Who was it last week? Kyle was for several weeks single-handedly campaigning for Renegade Nail. And thank you, Kyle, because that show is a GD delight. I love it so much. Like, I've been now banging the drum and proselytizing as well, because you got Orla from Dairy Girls. And she's mm-hmm. a highway woman who's gone to a life of crime to avenge her poppy. And and then sometimes Coach Nate flies down her throat and gives her superpowers. There you go.
It's not a euphemism.
But it's so well done. And there's some really cool monsters and some really cool effects. And it's just fun. And the soundtrack is just like, you want to get up and fight things when she's fighting things. So you're like, oh no, my fists hurt because I've been punching the wall instead of demons. So you don't do that.
Well, I think what we're getting here is Lee likes the show.
He
likes the show.
And my wife won't, like, this has been her week because her friends came back this week. And by her friends, I mean Discovery, her Star Trek. She likes all Star Trek, but
at
Discovery.
A window watching.
Yeah.
I wish I could. Let me watch new Star Trek.
This monster is your creation, Rebecca.
I love the audacity of Discovery. I love the time frame that it's set in. I love the characters. It's weird because the first couple seasons, my complaint was that it was the Michael Burnham show and not like, here's these potentially cool background characters. Show me more. Right. And now that we know them, I love them and they're amazing. So watched an episode of Next Generation where they went to Planet Hair Product. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And
my God.
We'll talk about it on the Space Show show.
And sat down and got caught up on Abbott Elementary, the single best comedy on television right now.
It's a
great
so
little
good.
Show, isn't it?
It is. I'm glad they're letting the janitor talk more because he is so funny. And the Career Day episode where he's just talking about, you know, his time in the CIA and all that other stuff. And I'm just like almost in tears because I'm laughing so hard because my dad. There
was
are elements
a janitor
of,
in the CIA.
Yeah, possibly.
Like, can't talk about it.
there's stories. Yeah. So too much. I watched a lot of these four shows.
All right. Who's next then? Robbie, you want to go?
Yeah. I much like Lee, was like, all right, let's try this Renegade Nail show, and was immediately hooked and decided to watch it with the family. So it was the wife and the kids. And the girls were just like, after the first episode, my wife was like, so would you watch this again? And they're just like, yeah. So we've been watching that and they've been enjoying it. And okay. It is a ton of fun, and you know, Adrian Lester is the count or the dark force figure. I am enjoying the hell out of him.
Yeah,
so much.
He's not eating the scenery; he's just gently sampling it.
Yes, and it's no, fantastic because nobody's doing too much, and it's been great. It's been fun.
Yeah.
I've also watched two episodes of Disco, and it was just like, oh. Thank you for bringing this back. I know it's only 10 episodes, but give them to me. And I'm sorry, Commander. Not sorry.
I think you're going to love it when you get to it. That's all I can say.
I know I will.
And they've introduced a new character that, much like another character, I didn't like when they were introduced.
Yep. Same exact reaction.
I'm just like,
and
oh.
I was like, oh, this is a Liam Shaw lesson I just had.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, this is a thing. But it's been, you know, it's been fun to watch. And then also X-Men 97 episode 4 did such a good job of compressing and condensing and telling the story Life Death.
Yeah.
Because I went back and reread it after seeing the episode. And they got so much right in that episode, including the costumes that the characters are wearing. I was just like, oh, they put Storm in the white overall outfit. And I'm like, wait, that looks familiar. It's the outfit. And I'm just like, yes. And I think they did a better job of telling this story in a condensed form, because they only used half the episode for it, than they did doing Inferno. And granted, that's like 36 issues of Inferno versus an issue and a half of Life Death. But they did such a good job with that. And then we got War Games X-Men style, basically.
So fun.
With Jubilee and Sunspot trapped in the X-Men 80s game. And I'm having a ball with that. So I'm going to be recreating some of that in action figure form this week.
Oh, so watch his socials. Watch Robert's
socials. So keep an eye on Action Figure Theater. Speaking of which, today is International Pillow Fight Day. And I haven't done today's picture yet. So if you want to, you could have you could be the impetus behind today's picture of who would you like to see pillow fighting. Pick two characters, Marvel, DC, some independent, some movie, and I'll see if I can make it happen.
All right.
Do you think there was a bill that passed that made that like official?
I doubt it. But it still makes me my inner fiend grin every time.
Oh, Rebecca Frost, what did you see this week?
Okay. Watched a few movies this week. So last week I started Ricky Stenicki. I wish Tony was here. Started Ricky Stenicki and then I fell asleep. And so then last night I finished Ricky Stenicki. And I believe I've mentioned it before. I saw a review that said John Cena gives a 5-star performance in an otherwise 2-star movie. So yep. Ricky Stenicki, if you don't know what it's about, where to begin? Zac Efron is there and he has friends. And growing up, they invented this person named Ricky Stenicki who would always take the fall for them when they got in trouble. And then as adults, they kind of use Ricky Stenicki as this like excuse to go do things without really. So like they go to Dollywood and like they go to all of these events and say, oh, Ricky Stenicki, he's getting like he's going to surgery. So we got to be there
his
for
cancer.
Him.
He has. Yeah.
Yeah. And it comes down to everybody wants to meet Ricky Stenicki. So they hire this man, John Cena, who is Rock Hard Rod, I think is his name. But he has a show in Vegas where he makes dick joke versions of songs, essentially. And so they hire him and John Cena gets way too into it and actually becomes Ricky Stenicki. Hilarity ensues. Kind of.
Hilarity with John Cena ensues.
John Cena, I love it. I do not ever want the other shoe to drop on him. Please, for the love of God, let him be perfect forever. But yeah, also 2 out of 5 stars. Because it ends it ends too clean. If they made this movie back in 2002, wildly different movie. Yeah. But because it's 2023, 2024, it is way too clean.
There is a sight gag in that movie though that works so well, because it's like you get 7 or 8 of these 80s masturbation montage songs of him in full costume playing all these different singers from the 80s. And then they cut to him in Britney Spears costume from Hit Me Baby One More Time. No explanation, no song, no anything. Nope. Just him climbing out a window and running. And it's just like, it's a flawless suck gag. So
watch it for John Cena. And that's about it. Movies that came out this week or last week when this comes out in your audio format. The First Omen, a prequel to The Omen.
Okay.
What can you say about a prequel to The Omen? Except can I be crazy.
What can I say except I turned on my Disney Plus and there was Watch The Omen. And I'm like,
that's the crazy thing about the way that all of these companies are organized now. The First Omen, technically a Disney movie, because it's it's released by the Disney studio. Horror movie.
Yes.
Fantastic visuals. Awesome score. Like, this movie goes really big with its visual effects, and it's icky parts. A lot of like scenes that will actually like stick with me, and like they do a very fantastic job with the visual aspect of it. Otherwise, like you just Catholics be crazy. Yeah. I personally always struggle with like a nun-based horror, and I think it's just because I never grew up Catholic, and I kind of think this the market is saturated with nun-based horror. two out of five. If you like horror, if you like The Omen, I'm interested in the world that it kind of set up. I've never seen the first Omen, so I'd be curious to know how this affects
movie night.
It's on Disney Plus.
So hold on a second. So you've never seen The Omen. So they did The Omen originally in 1976, if I remember correctly.
This is a
period piece.
Okay, no, but hold on a second, because here's the thing. Do you know who directed The Omen, the original one? Richard Donner.
Yes, thank you.
His next movie was Superman.
Yeah. Interesting.
Needed a palate cleanser.
Needed a palate cleanser. They remade the movie in 2008 or 9, if I'm not mistaken, with Liev Schreiber in the lead role as Damien's father. I can't remember who played the mother in that role, but then when they did the remake, it was almost a shot-for-shot remake of the movie. They didn't.
Oh.
It was intentional.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I find stuff like that so fascinating when they intentionally do that.
And if you look, I mean, they did it intentionally because they were like, they liked the feel of it, like everything else. Everything was updated because it had been, 35 years since they'd done the original, but everything else is pretty much one for one with the original movie.
My mom took me to see Omen 3, The Final Conflict, in the theaters when it came out. That's just not a movie you take an 11-year-old to.
No.
Thing about the first Omen, directed by a woman, Arkasha Stevenson, I don't know where she has been all my life, but she... And why has my browser decided Yahoo is my default search engine?
Did you turn it off and turn it back on?
But the woman who stars in it, Nell Tiger-Free, she was in Game of Thrones, Servant, that M. Night Shyamalan Apple TV.
Oh, yes, yes.
But she, horror star in the making. There's some really cool body horror stuff that happens in this that I cannot wait to see her in some future horror movies. The other big movie that opened this week, Monkey Man, Dev Patel's directorial debut. The thing about Monkey Man, let me tell you a little about Monkey Man. So Monkey Man, Dev Patel wrote, directed, and produced it because the man is a martial artist and he's been dying to be in an action role and nobody will cast him in an action role.
He was in the Avatar movie.
So he took it upon himself to make his own movie. He turned down roles. He turned down other jobs to make this movie. He broke bones. He got an eye infection. He had to relearn a whole fight to do one-handed because he broke his hand. Like, the man poured his heart and soul into this movie, and it was destined for the cutting room floor. And then Jordan Peele saw it, and Jordan Peele was like, I'm going to get your movie a theatrical debut. And thank God for Jordan Peele. So what the movie's about, it's kind of like your typical revenge story. Dev Patel plays like an underground fighter who wants to seek revenge against the people who are responsible for the death of his mother. Good reason as any. Real hero's journey stuff, right? Like, he tries, he fails, training montage, absolutely whoops ass in the third act. So there's things I wish I could say about this movie that don't, but it would spoil it. And there's an aspect of this movie where the liberals are going to fist pump and the right wing are going to go, what did he say? But it's a fantastic debut from him. I don't think it's a perfect debut. I gave it like 4.5 out of 5. I cannot wait to see what he does next. I think this is an awesome entry into his portfolio of like, look what I am capable of. Please like give this man more opportunities to make an action movie, because this was phenomenal. 4.5 out of 5.
Wow. Okay. Nice. That's a good review. Mm-hmm. Is that everything? X-Men 97, of course, I watched, enjoyed, Discovery, wow, first two episodes, I know, Rebecca, not only do we get some great writing and some great acting and storytelling, and oh man, the effects are just amazing. And I get to look at Shaniqua Martin Green for 2 hours. That's always good too.
you're damn
so,
right.
So satisfying though. So she has just. I'm so glad. I was sad when they killed her on Walking Dead, but then I kept telling myself, "But she's gonna be in a Star Trek. It'll be okay."
She's in Orange Is the New Black too. Correct?
No, I don't think so.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, look it up. Anyway, so it was just terrific. Enjoy it. Watch it over and over. I can't believe the direction that they're heading. Again, Rebecca, you're going to have to stay on your course in order to understand what's going to be happening here. I'm excited to see where this goes. I'm one of those Star Trek nerds that did this season on Discovery, and I did, you know, frame by frame, and there's something that's revealed there that I literally jumped out of my chair. I don't often jump out of my chair, but I jumped out of my chair and went,
she was on The Walking Dead.
Well, I know she was in The Walking Dead.
Orange is the New Black is the show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm thinking of somebody else.
I was in a coma. Yeah. Again.
But anyway, just enjoyed the hell out of it. I watched a comedy special that I think it's on Apple. I can't remember. It's Tig Notaro's latest. And it's called Hello There.
She's so good.
And that was a nice segue, by the way.
And in it, she makes a joke about how she looks like Tom Cruise.
She does.
So we watched that earlier in the week. Forgot about it. And then last night, Sue was saying, well, what do you want to watch tonight? You know, we never did watch that Mission Impossible movie. And I went,
Dead Reckoning?
That's right. We need to watch that because my lovely Hayley Atwell is in there. And I get to look at Hayley Atwell for 2 hours. Okay, let's do that. God damn. I couldn't look at Tom Cruise without seeing Tig Notaro.
Especially now, because he's finally starting to look like a man in his 60s.
Yes, he's getting that age. And there were times in the shots. That was Tig Notaro, I swear to God. They sent Tig in there, and you know, Tom's off doing Scientology stuff. Bring Tig in. You know.
Do you also ever pay attention to Tom Cruise's teeth and how they're not like perfectly centered?
Yes. Yes, I do. I obsess over stuff. I don't know why. I focus on something and that's all I can see. But after watching this, and it was an okay little action movie.
That movie rips. Are you kidding me?
That train scene at the end.
Real butt clencher.
Ruined me.
Yeah.
Ruined a perfectly good train.
But that made me want Marvel to make a Captain Carter movie, live action one with Haley.
Yes.
Did you also notice that her outfit was inspired by David Bowie in Labyrinth?
Only from the codpiece.
I'll pay attention next time. Wow. that made me want a Captain Carter live action movie after seeing her do all the action and stuff. God, she was great.
They were definitely like setting up a passing of the torch.
Felt like
totally.
Yeah.
Kind of felt that way. You're right. And I was like, sure, let her join the IMF. Let's do this, you know.
Let her lead it.
Yeah.
And thank you, Carrie, for ruining engineering for me now. Because I'm never going to see Discovery Engineering the same way.
I know, right?
I bet that's a joke.
But they just barely use her. That's the problem.
But she's like, getting used again this season.
Yeah, I know, but just and she was name dropped, and I appreciate that, but Reno is too good a character just to like dangle out 2 or 3 episodes a season.
I can disagree.
She has said herself the reason that she's not on as much is it's her fault.
Yeah.
She said, because I don't like the jargon, you know.
And she had a chance to play like John Hamm's assistant on The Morning Show. I get it.
And then she also said, the reason that I'm doing the show is because they asked me, and I said, only if you let me have a really cool name like Jet Reno. And they went, okay, fine. Come on. Yeah. Come play. Come play. Let's go. So anyway. Oh, Rebecca. I'm sorry.
Can we get a picture of that just so we can have the meme of Rebecca's size?
Yes.
Rebecca pouting.
So really, all you have to do, just put it in perspective, finish Next Gen. All the Next Gen movies. Thankfully, there are no more Star Trek movies after that. until, and there's only the two next-gen movies, and then you get DS9, and then you get Enterprise, and Voyager, and then Enterprise.
I have so much other shows to watch.
Then there's like the 2002 to 2007 series, Star Trek Aneurysm, and then you get to the Kelvins, which there's only
by
two
the
of
time, by the time we get to Strange New World, Strange New World is going to be done.
Yeah, long dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Lee, I think you're wrong. We're going to have to move the Kelvins forward in the timeline for reasons. And I've talked to Carrie about this.
Oh, well, you better talk to Rebecca about it then.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to that last scene of Strange New Worlds where they're like, how are you feeling, Commodore Pike? And he's like, beep.
Stop it!
Stop it!
No, I'm praying to Star Trek Jesus that that Strange New Worlds ends on what's that planet, Talos 4, is it?
Yeah.
Where he goes to live out the rest of his days,
and then the doctor shows up,
and I just want to know what happens to him and his happily ever after.
Rebecca.
Don't laugh at me.
I'm not. I think there's going to be a.
I'm laughing with you.
I think there's going to be a picnic outside a farm in Iowa.
There will be.
And
Tango, my
there.
Horse will
Tango.
Be there.
Tango.
Tango.
This castle's awful green.
No, it was Montana,
denim.
Wasn't it?
God,
it was in Montana.
I cannot wait to see Anson Mount in denim on denim. Mm.
I hope they don't do that to him. No one should wear denim on denim except for Jay Leno.
Carrie, yes. Carrie, did you catch Jackie Keeshan on...
Yes, on After Midnight.
After Midnight. That was a solid lineup of guests that night, but Jackie was killing me.
That's why I watched that.
Who else was there?
I can't remember their names now. Because it was all about Jackie for me.
Yeah.
A couple of other comedians. Very funny, though.
It's her best friend, and I can never remember her name until I'm watching her do her own stuff.
Yes. I know who you're talking about.
She does the best Paula Deen impersonation.
Margarine!
Yeah.
But yeah, that show's a delight.
I have a hard time watching the full hour, so I just watch the little 7-minute snippets on YouTube, and it makes it all work.
Oh,
so.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. No Tony here today. So Maria Bamford. That's it. Oh
yes.
Oh, I did see that episode.
Oh, Maria Bamford.
She's hilarious. Yes.
Maria Bamford does a whole bit on seagulls that had me almost fall out of my chair. So.
I was thinking of somebody else because Jackie Keeshan. Who does she do that podcast with? That's who I was thinking of.
That may be the other person. Because it was three women on the panel.
Maria Bamford.
Was it Lori Kilmartin?
Yes.
She was the third panelist.
Yes,
Lori Kilmartin. Maria Bamford, my invisible woman. Back to Arrested Development.
This past week on that show, Arden Marin, she's very funny. And she was on the show and just stole it away from these other two guys. It was great.
Yeah.
Anyway, no Tony, so no games. But
you
have games?
Yeah. Soliloquy, The Silence of Weeping is coming out next week on all JRPG compatible platforms. Katamari something or another.
Tomasi.
And then go Snorlax Go is coming.
Somebody in the comments was wondering why we haven't talked about Helldivers 2.
We did, didn't
none
we?
Of us have played.
Well, at least the obsession surrounding Helldivers 2. I'll just say my husband plays it like all the time, and he's obsessed. Yeah. He keeps trying to get me to play it, and I'm like, I will not play that game.
My Friday night hobby night was just me and one other friend because everybody else was off playing Helldivers, and I'm like, it can't be that good. You don't want to hang out with me.
For democracy or whatever. I don't know.
Whatever.
My husband's just at his computer for democracy, like all the time.
It sounds like nationalists.
Like
made
I'm
kind of
wondering,
game.
Like, is he preparing for another January 6th? Like,
does he talk to the video game?
Is there? Oh yeah, baby. Like,
don't
he,
you?
No.
Maybe that's what I'm doing wrong. Oh no.
I just curse a lot. You know.
That's still talking to your video game.
I just. Do you know how often I think about how I want to replay Stray because I love being a kitty cat?
Yep.
Because when I
couldn't
play it
because I killed the cat and then I felt bad.
Well, no, the cat survives in the very beginning because he falls down the thing, but he survives and then you have the rest of the video game to be him.
No, I kept killing him because I kept falling off things.
You cannot kill a cat.
No, it's just the thought of it made me sad.
But when I was playing the kitty cat and I was like walking up walls and stuff, I was like, I can go anywhere.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's head to the after party.
Yay!
Thank you all for being here. Thank you so much. And we'll see you on the other side. GeekshowGotThisCovered.com. Live long and prosper, bitches.
Yay!
Push the button, Frank.